Welcome back to it on a Monday. Good to have you here for the conversation. All eyes have been on Washington in the past couple of weeks. A public testimony from witnesses in the ongoing impeachment inquiry. Not an impeachment vote yet. For my member of Congress, Alyssa Slotkin, she had voted to support the inquiry itself, but said she would withhold judgment on where it went from there. Back with me, Alyssa Slotkin, Democrat, a freshman from Michigan's 8th Congressional District. Alyssa, welcome back.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. So I know you've got a lot of things going on with increasing pay for veterans and so forth, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you the most obvious of questions, and that is you voted in favor of the impeachment inquiry because you felt at the time on this program you told me that it needed to be looked at closer. Do you still favor pursuing impeachment at this point after this past week's testimony?
Well, I mean, for me, I've always said I'm going to reserve judgment until I see the final report, everything in front of me. I'm going to do what I was trained to do as a CIA officer, which is look at the body of information in its totality. You know, I've tried not to be commenting on each hour of testimony and each Twitter feed, you know, each Twitter bit. So I'm going to withhold judgment until I see the final report and do what I was trained to do. I do think it was important that the hearings came out in the public. I think that there was a lot of questions about what was happening when it was behind closed doors. And so to be able to hear directly from people, you know, people can Google the testimony and watch it if they want. I think it's important to hear directly from the people.
Right. And I'm not asking about piecemeal. I'm asking you, you've seen the totality now of the 9 witnesses that were in front of Adam Schiff and the House Intelligence Committee. Have you changed? I mean, are you still with impeachment? Let me ask you this. If there was a vote on impeachment today, would you vote for it?
You know, I'd want to put it all together. I know we've seen a lot of these folks. There's a lot of testimony that went on behind closed doors where we can now see the testimony, but those people were never called up. You know, they didn't feel that they were sufficiently, I guess, relevant enough to bring up. I want to see the whole thing. And, you know, I haven't been presented with a body of information. I certainly think that some of the testimony doesn't look great. And, you know, it gets back to this very basic idea. For me, it's very simple. It's just that, you know, I worked in national security for years and years. And we often went to other countries and said, hey, you know, we really need you to improve on this or stop doing this. And we really pressured those countries. That's normal in diplomacy. But we were doing it for the national security interests of the United States, not for Alyssa Slotkin, not for my political gain, but for national security. And that very basic idea that the president reached out and asked for information for personal political gain, that to me crossed the line. So I think we heard evidence that leaned that way. But again, I just think it's important to look at the whole picture.
Alyssa Slotkin, let me ask you this. Are politicians above the law?
No. I mean, I think, you know, to me, they should be even more hyper-careful.
Then let me ask you this.
The perception.
Then why is it that the Bidens are off limits to be investigated? If politicians are not above the law, I mean, let's be honest. Hunter Biden was getting paid $1 million a year, took more than $3 million total. That wouldn't happen to me. It wouldn't happen to you. It happened because his last name is Biden. I think we can agree on that. It's fair to say. And why is it that because their last name is Biden, suddenly they are off limits? You just told me politicians are not above the law.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's above the law. But here's the thing, Steve. If you are sitting in Washington or anywhere else in the United States and you think that Hunter Biden or the Biden family, that there's some sort of there, right? And you want to investigate it. That's your choice. That's your legitimate choice. Then you go to American law enforcement. You go to the FBI. You go to Americans. You don't go to a Ukrainian president. That's the difference. I don't have a problem, and I have no special knowledge of what the Bidens did or did not do. But I know when we are worried about an American committing a crime, we go to American law enforcement.
So here's the other issue for Democrats, for freshman Democrats specifically like yourself, because as you know, Donald Trump won the 8th Congressional District by, I think, 7 points.
Yes.
You won by just under 4, correct? About somewhat. But I look at the polling now, and the polling supporting impeachment a month ago, a fair amount of support for impeachment, but from 538 to YouGov to Emerson to Morning Consult to Marquette University, showing that every leading Democrat would lose to Donald Trump, something we've never seen before. This all happening in the last 4 or 5 days. Polling on impeachment is collapsing, and that's got to be a concern to you. It would have to be. If I were in your position, that would be a concern. Yes or no?
Yeah. I mean, listen, before I made the decision to support an impeachment inquiry, I knew that certainly in this district, this would be controversial. I mean, I knew it. And to be honest with you, there was a crop of people who were saying, you've ended your political career. But that's how strongly I felt about it. That's how strongly I felt about my duty to protect and defend the Constitution and our political process.
I don't know if you've
and
ended
I
your...
understand.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ended your political career, but I think that when you come home to the district for Thanksgiving break, they're going to ask about USMCA, prescription drug prices, infrastructure, securing the border, the opioid epidemic, because let's be honest, nothing has gone on in Washington to speak of in the last several months because it's all been impeachment all the time, whether it's the Mueller report or now this Ukraine thing. What's really going on to help the constituents in the 8th Congressional District and around the country for that matter?
Yeah. So I have to push back a little bit. It may be that the media is obsessed with impeachment, but I got to tell you, I'm not on any of those committees. I don't sit in any of those meetings. The biggest piece of prescription drug legislation that I have passed unanimously and bipartisan happened in the middle of this impeachment process. The bill we just passed to make sure the VA helps pay for service dogs for veterans with PTSD just is getting going and is going to pass during this impeachment process. All of these things are going on, but they're not sexy like impeachment, so the media is not covering them. But I reject that idea. We've taken plenty of votes in the past, 6-7 weeks? It's just that they're not breaking through because impeachment is dominating the news.
Let me ask you this. I was in the Oval Office on Tuesday of this past week interviewing the president, and was focusing mostly on USMCA, something that he would really like to see passed, something that people in Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin think that would really help several different sectors of the economy. Why is USMCA just sitting there on hold?
Yeah. So right now we just got a briefing on this, on the status of the negotiations. First of all, probably more than most Democrats in Michigan, I am a big supporter of USMCA and desperately want it done. But we need, in my mind, literally one or two sentences of change on enforcement. The last NAFTA, the NAFTA that we now live with, has literally no teeth if the Mexicans or the Canadians violate the agreement. That was one of the big problems, is that the Mexicans, would not allow labor standards to go through. All the things they promised, they wouldn't do, and then we couldn't actually punish them, and there wouldn't be any consequences. So I've been around a long time. You can't create a deal that doesn't have some sort of mechanism to punish them if they violate the terms of the agreement. That, to me, is the outstanding issue in the USMCA as it stands right now. We've told the man negotiating it, Ambassador Lighthizer.
Right.
He's negotiating it for Trump. He's been wonderful with us. He's been engaged and up and talking to people on the Hill. To me, that's the one-sentence, two-sentence change that needs to happen, and I would vote for it.
All right. Alyssa Slotkin, I always appreciate you. You're always stand up with me, and I appreciate that. You're standing there because you know the questions are going to be real when you stop. And Alyssa Slotkin, my member of Congress from Michigan's 8th Congressional District. I wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving, and I'm sure we will talk sometime soon. So enjoy your time in the district and back home in Michigan. It's a little cold, but you'll like it.
You bet.
There you have it. Thank you so much. Alyssa Slotkin, everybody. You know what? You may not agree with her. I may not agree with her. But I give her credit, and I have respect for the fact that she steps in here more than any other Democrat and has a real conversation about real issues. It's the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Bob Thomas, Chief Operating Officer for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. All across the state, businesses have joined the Michigan Chamber to be a part of the most influential business voice in Lansing. As a member, companies become part of a statewide network of small business, medium-sized companies, and industry leaders focused on improving pro-business legislation within state government. For the past 60 years, the Michigan Chamber has delivered powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members, representing 1 million employees across the state. As a member-driven organization, we keep our members at the center of all that we do. Together, we can make a difference, and together, we ensure Michigan is the best place to create jobs and support free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans. But in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.